Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, thanks for coming to Ignite. Thanks for coming this morning to the talk here. My name's Keith Brinsonhoff. I'm working here with Nitika Gupta, and we'll have hopefully a good session for you today. So this is one part of a larger set of discussions on Azure Active Directory and identity access management, including things about one identity for thousands of apps, enabling your business collaboration with a B2B, cloud-powered protection. But the one that I'm most in love with is managing access at scale, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So one thing I'd like to kick off with is that we in the engineering team have completely changed the way we build and deliver our services. We go from a model where we used to work for a couple of years and then ship a box product that then would be picked up by you folks, installed and deployed in time kind of thing. We've moved now to a model where we're offering services, and in these services we are literally have the situation where we're updating it as often as once a week, right? And so with that situation, it's really become more valuable for us connecting ever more directly with our customers, because understanding blockers, understanding priorities, understanding what's really important, we can make those adjustments in real time. And I guarantee you in 2 years, in that time it used to develop one release in the past, we can now really offer you capabilities that are tangible and useful for you. And the reason I bring that up is that we've talked to over 200 customers in the last year or so that we've been working directly with in engineering to do the prioritization and to ensure that things are going successfully. I want to share you a little bit about both the technical and the non-technical things that they've gone through for managing access at scale. And after that, we'll jump into the how, like what are actually the different parts and how the pieces fit together here. So let's talk about what these customers have told us, right? The first thing, these are common points that you might have seen yourself. You and IT are dealing with your, basically having to do more with less, right? And more is being asked of you. In fact, even the cloud is even more work, if you will, on top of your current work options that you have. And you're dealing with lean operations. This is kind of a core piece that you have to deal with. Your end users are getting really comfortable with using really cool consumer type apps, and they want those experiences. They want those experiences so much that they are actually going and adopting these applications outside of your control. And that's called shadow IT, right? So the users are voting with their actions, if you will. And then within all this, there's the rapid evolution of technologies, and how do you keep up with all these pieces? And finally, security risks are rising. So within that situation, we see the cyber attacks, we see the loss of identities. The most recent one with Yahoo is a good example, and just in general concern about perceived risk of moving to the cloud. So these are all the pieces that are impacting you, and I think you could probably say that these are relevant. So what are our customers that we're working directly with, right? And some of these are talking today. I think that this week, one is Unilever, for example. So here's what they're doing. So this is basically a roadmap for moving to managing at scale, right? And this is the core kind of findings that we've had. And what we've found is that if you kind of take advantage of these different stages, you'll be able to move to the managing at scale in a very productive way and as efficiently as possible. So the first step is preparing, right? You're in the learning phase. You're looking at how your organization is going to adopt new cloud services, right? And it's basically, and one of the things we're going to talk about today is how we can help you during the learning phase. The second piece is that I really ask you, some of you might be on security teams, I ask you, get the security teams involved right now. One of the biggest inefficiencies, if you will, that get drawn into this process is that you make a lot of progress and suddenly the security team says, hey, we're going to do an evaluation. And that might take a couple months, right? So get them early And then let us help you give them the information that they need to successfully complete the evaluation. And finally, do the connection to the cloud. This is where you connect, get your users to the cloud. And when you do that, even before you turn anything on, just that work kind of gets you set up, gets you in a good place for making the progress that that you hope to do. After that, the next step is that we find that the leadership is all in. Like the leadership is beginning to get the story. You have identified your initial user population, right? This is the group that you're going to start to roll the first use cases out. You've identified the app. The app might be a big one like Office 365. It might be a SharePoint Online. It might be an on-premises SharePoint. It might be a software as a service app. You've identified what you're going to do. And you've also enabled some self-service, right? Things like password reset and specific scope security features. So the three things that our customers do when they onboard at this stage is they add an app, they turn on self-service password reset, they turn on multi-factor authentication, right? So these are the things that show the value very, very rapidly. And then they move to scaling, right? And one of the core things here is that now your organization understands what is going on, right? You get your governance and operational models in place. Your security team is now has an operational model. They understand what the security requirements are. And in every one of our customers, they have tweaked their IT organization at this time. They have tweaked how they're identifying who does what so they can maximize the value that they're getting. And they didn't plan necessarily to do this. You just find by this stage that that's the right thing to do. And then this is where you go into breadth deployment as well. The final step is when you're getting into optimization, right? And we have a number of customers here today that are actually at this stage already. The organization is onboarding. Like they really are understanding overall how this works for them, how they get involved with the use cases, the end users are on board, and you've already got some advanced governance, meaning you've got teams that know what they need to look for, they know what reporting they need to do. And the third piece is really kind of the big beginning of the addressing those kind of external forces that I said. Decision to say, hey, for all my new services, it's always cloud first. Like, if you get to that point, that's what we find, that then they reduce a lot of churn and challenges based on saying, like, hey, I'm just going to fit in new services and even ask the service providers to plug into this as well. In combination with that, they've begun reducing their on-prem footprint. They begin to see that some of the services that are now running and working within the organization allow them to begin to reduce costs by reducing that footprint. But the most important place, I think, where you end up reducing costs is your capability agility. This is the ability to add new apps, to add new capabilities, because the system is running. Some of the core things we'll show you today is how you make this core connection between on-prem and the cloud, the hybrid environment, and new abilities, new applications, new resources are just adding layers to the onion rather than re-architecting the system. So the combination and capability agility is meaning you might look at all your SaaS apps, you identify, wow, I've got four different subscriptions for the same application being spread across my organization. Let me make that one, let me get it with my IT control, and let me start saving money and showing the value to the organization, right? So that capability agility really begins to, in combination with the security work that we've talked about, those combinations begin to address doing more with less, to address the lean operations, having an end user experience that's really cool and up to date, getting your shadow IT under control, right? Being able to adopt the new technologies in a very rhythmic way, and everything is with security thinking. So I hope this is helpful to you, and this is really based on discussions, interviews, and connections with the customer, so it's really grounded in what we have seen on an everyday basis. So we're talking about managing at scale. Azure AD is scale personified. It's all about scale, right? So Azure Active Directory over eight, so those customers that we've talked about, they're in the 33,000 here, right? The 33,000 customers with enterprise mobility and security or the premium services of Azure Active Directory, you know, comprises 85% of Fortune 500, right? So, and when we look at here, there's over 10 million directories. That's of all sizes, right? From the very largest companies to the smallest. And one thing I want you here today might be very representing very large companies or smaller. The things we're talking about is across that range. We have over 750 million enterprise users, right, that are in these enterprise directories. So scale is a big deal. And one of the points I want to point out, 1.3 billion authentications. When you combine that with all the consumer authentications that we're also, you know, managing, we're looking at billions and billions of authentications every day, and we're able to apply, you know, that we're fighting fraud, we're fighting account compromise, and we're really able to bring that value to the sign-ins of your organization just as well. So you know, the base of these numbers have been, you know, kind of behind the adoption of things like Azure and things like O365. And then now that people are like onboarding at such scale, we want to make sure you know about what it takes to move forward and with managing at scale. So there's four steps, and we will go through all of these with you. The simplest one is plan. Make a nice scope plan, right? What we found is the smaller the plan, for the smaller the beginning, enables you to go further faster because you make solid steps, get the organizational buy-in, and get on top of that. Second one is automate, right? And we'll show you the automation from identity access management perspective of users being populated into the system and then depopulated as they leave the company. So automation is the initial key. The second one is empower. You cannot manage a scale unless you can push out the controls to the people who understand what's going on, the business owners, right? The end users themselves, right? Moving things away from the IT center, but knowing that when you've done that, you can monitor, report, you can verify what's going on, right? So those are the three parts. You're gonna plan, automate, push out for self-service, and then monitor and report. And we'll go in depth here. So a short session on plan. And this is basically a little trick of the trade, if you will, right? Based on these discussions with our customers. If you're gonna make a plan, decide what the driver is. Get one driver. It's either increasing business agility, reducing cost, addressing security risk, which when we really prompt you, choose one. Scope the project to that driver. And we have a ton of documents within this presentation here and links to that you can follow up in terms of good examples of what that might be. And then get your leadership aligned. Say, hey, this is our driver, this is what we're doing, and this is how you're gonna find out if we're successful. We also created a CIO guide for just that piece, right? So take this document here, give that to your CIO, and help them understand how this work that we're showing you fits into their overall plan as well. So let's actually look at automation first. Now we have, for example, a customer here, ClickView. ClickView is an Australian company. They're providing video services to schools in Australia. They have literally hundreds of thousands of students, right? And without the ability to manage passwords and login activities for all of these students, they literally would not have a business. So let's let Nitika have a chance here to show us some of these, what automation might look like. It's already on.
Perfect timing. So the connection got lost. Let me just get that fixed. Do you want to briefly talk about automation while I fix this connectivity
great.
Issue?
So what Nitika is going to be setting up here is basically the automation step. We have an HR environment, a stand-in for that, and we're going to show how that flows up through Azure Active Directory.
So Keith just talked about the landscape and why managing at scale is important. Next, we are going to switch gears. We're going to focus primarily on how you can manage at scale. So next 50 minutes is going to be demos, a lot of demos. I'm going to go slow, try to keep up. It's going to be fun. So let me first start off with introducing three new characters to this story. Make them your best friends for the next 50 minutes. So there's Nitika, that's me, who's the IT pro at Woodgrove. And we have virtual characters, Chris and Jessica, who are information workers at Woodgrove. Don't forget their names, Nitika, Jessica, and Chris. You'll need them in the next 50 minutes. So the first step for managing at scale is automation. And we believe that's the only way for organizations to manage at scale. Automation not just helps in reducing IT cost, which is very critical given IT budgets are not going up, it also helps in providing security and reliability. So next few demos are going to be about how you could automate processes within your organization. So here I have an HR application in front of me where I could add, delete, or manage users. We have a new employee next week joining Woodgrove. Her name is Jessica. Before she comes into work, I want to make sure she has all the access in place so she can get started on day one. So I'll go ahead and add her to the HR system. All right. Fingers crossed. So I'll add Jessica.
So this is a stand-in application for any number of HR apps that you might either have in place or might adopt in the future.
Awesome. So this is adding the user to the HR system. What's happening under the covers, which you can't really see, is the user is not just added to the HR system, but also synced to Windows Server Active Directory using Microsoft Identity Manager. And not just that, the user is also synced up to cloud, that is Azure Active Directory using Azure AD Connect. So all that is happening under the covers. The end result is a user added to the HR system now shows up in Azure Active Directory. Don't take my word for it, let's verify it. So let's switch to the Azure AD Management Console. So here I am within portal.azure.com. That's the new management experience for Azure AD. Let's look for Jessica. Hopefully she shows up. Awesome. So I added Jessica to the HR system. She now shows up in Azure Active Directory in less than a minute. Further, if I click into Jessica, I can see that her department is marketing. That's the information I provided in the HR system. So all the information from HR system is getting to Azure Active Directory. So here I can see more information about Jessica, her sign-ins, and whatnot. So now that the user is added in Azure Active Directory, the next thing I want to make sure is Jessica has access to all the applications and resources she needs to access for work. So to do so, how many of you guys have felt the pain of license assignment for Office 365? Licensing, very painful, scripting. You're going to love the next 2 minutes. You're going to have fun. So what I have within Woodgrove is I have a bunch of products here. So the thing to highlight is you can now manage licensing for all Microsoft online services from right here. The network is pretty slow, so bear with me here. So within Woodgrove, I have two sets of users who get different licenses based on their department. So I have the marketing group, and they get Office 365 E5 licenses because they have advanced Power BI requirements. And then I have the HR group that gets E3 licenses, and I'll show you how that happens. And then all my users within the organization get Azure AD Premium, so they could leverage the security features, they could leverage all these advanced features that I'm going to show in the next 50 minutes. So here, hopefully the products show up. All right. Keith was just showing his amazing dance move earlier.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is switch to what we're seeing while you get this up. I'll switch and then we'll switch back to you. So while the network catches up there, so two things. One is Nitika showed a situation where you have the HR app using Microsoft Identity Manager to synchronize that to populate that user within Active Directory, right? Now, please note, that just happens to be one way to do it. First off, the situation is it works with a wide number of HR apps, and if you have identity access management in place and are already automating the creation of users in Active Directory, the next steps just follow. We are really in a situation where we want to ensure that you don't need to do a big identity access management change to take advantage of the services. So you can let me know if you're ready.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Okay, good. So let's switch back to you.
Awesome. So just to remind ourselves, you can manage all Microsoft online service licenses from right here. So here I can see EMS, I have Azure AD Premium, I have Office 365 and Power BI licenses. So as I said, I want my marketing team to get E5 licenses. So here I will go into E5, I'll look through the license groups, and I have the marketing team assigned to E5 license. The thing to note here is that you might have noticed the word dynamic group. So what that means is I didn't have to manually go in, create this marketing team group, and added users manually to it. What I did was I wrote a rule, and I'll show you what that is. So hopefully network don't ruin it for me. Okay, so what I did here was I created a dynamic group, and I had a rule which said if the user department is marketing, automatically add this user to this group. So I added Jessica to this marketing department, and she already shows up here. So you can see Jessica's role now shows up in the marketing team group and also has access to E5 automatically. Like, I did not have to take any other step. I just made sure she had the right department, and the dynamic group membership took care of the rest. Here, I had a very simple rule, which is look at the department, look for marketing. But for you guys, you can have more sophisticated rules depending on your requirements. Likewise, for E3, I have assigned that to the human resources team group. Again, that's a dynamic group. I am not managing any groups manually. Additionally, what I want to do is, within Woodgrove, we're not big fans of Yammer. So what I've done is I want to disable Yammer within my organization. So here what you could do is disable individual services for Office 365. Okay. So I could say, I want to allow Sway, I want to allow Exchange Online, but I do not want to allow Yammer Enterprise. So I'll just go ahead and toggle that to off, and that's pretty much it, and I'm done. So no one in my organization can use Yammer anymore, which is great because I don't want users to be confused. Lastly, I want the entire organization to get Azure AD Premium. So they could use the security features, they could use all these dynamic features that we are going to talk about. So here, I have yet another dynamic group called All Users. So anyone I use add to the directory will get added to the All Users group, and they'll automatically get Azure AD Premium licenses. So just to like pause here, what just happened here is we added a user to the HR system, they got added to Azure Active Directory, and now that user has access to Office 365 because they are licensed for Exchange and SharePoint and other Office services. I had to take no additional step. I just added a user to HR app. All the rest is taken care of. Jessica has access to Office 365 as of now.
That's wonderful. So the group-based selective licensing, that's what we call that capability. If you went to look for that in Azure on portal.azure.com today, you would not see it, right? It's coming the next 2 months. But we didn't want to miss this opportunity to share with you how this pieces fit together here. So we're really looking forward to it. It's been a big customer driver. So and just to close on this section, the focus here is ensuring that you can get the automation to get the user on board and active. So let's look at what comes after that, right? For moving forward to the next step for other app applications as well. So Nitika?
Awesome. So how many of us love remembering a password for each application that we use? Long list of passwords to remember. We all testing our memories. That's fun. So that's the problem we are addressing with single sign-on, where you sign in once with one single account, and you don't have to sign in multiple times. Just give me a moment. I'm getting like things set up. Cool. So that's single sign-on. So Azure AD allows you to have single sign-on with not just first-party applications like Office 365, but also with third-party applications like Salesforce, ServiceNow, Workday, and many more. So to enable single sign-on is really straightforward. It's not hard. So what you really need to do is within the Azure Management Console, you are within the app, and then you just toggle to the single sign-on section. Within the single sign-on experience, you just need to do three steps. First one is you decide what integration mode you want to use. So here we have three options. You could say, I want to go with SAML, which provides the richest single sign-on experience, or you could go with password-based or linked sign-in. Next, you need to provide this Salesforce URL, which is really straightforward. You can go to the Salesforce experience, get that URL, enter it here. And lastly, you download the certificate, the signing certificate, that you would need to upload on the Salesforce site. And at that point, you're pretty much done. On the Azure AD side, you just need to take three steps. Pick your mode, get the URL, download the certificate. Next, you configure things on the Salesforce side, for which we do have an embedded guidance here. And at that point, you have single sign-on with Salesforce. It's really simple to configure and use. And you guys should give it a shot. So what this really does is, from a user perspective, now I sign in once with one single account, and I get access to Office 365, to Salesforce, to any other SaaS application for which I configure single sign-on. I remember credentials once. I don't have to enter them multiple times. It just enables end-user productivity. So the next thing is that, how do I provision these accounts in SaaS applications? So traditionally, as all of you guys in the room would know, IT would go to individual application, create a user account in there, manage that account. So you can imagine, for every application, you have to manage users there, manage accounts there, which could be like hundreds. IT doesn't like it. It's a nightmare for you guys, having to manage accounts in 100 places. So with automatic provisioning, so what Azure AD allows you to do is it would provision and deprovision accounts in the SaaS app for you. So every time you add a user, like Jessica, we added her through the HR system, she gets provision in Azure AD, but she also gets provision in the SaaS application of choice. So she gets provision in Salesforce in this case. And just similar to single sign-on, provisioning setup is straightforward as well. So just to show you what provisioning setup looks like, you just need to provide us the admin credentials that you could get from Salesforce, test the connection, hit on save, and at that point you have automatic provisioning in place. The beauty of this is, from an IT perspective, now you have to manage your accounts just in one place. So if you make any changes in the HR system, that gets reflected on-prem, in Azure AD, as well as in the SaaS application. You no longer have to manage accounts in 100 different places. Now, if a user leaves the organization, so if Jessica one day leaves the organization, you just need to delete Jessica from the HR system, and the side effect is that she loses access to all applications, first party and third party, which have automatic provisioning and single sign-on setup. So it's an awesome thing for IT admins. It's great for end users. They no longer have to remember a zillion passwords or enter them multiple times. So that's the power of provisioning and single sign-on. Switching over to you.
Okay. Do you want to talk about App Proxy and then this piece next?
Or sure. I could talk about that. So just setting up demos. I have 10 demos scattered all around. So, but not all organizations use cloud apps, right? Cloud apps are new. We are starting to use them. But we have a lot of corporate applications that are still on premises. And traditionally, how IT would handle that was you would ask your users to VPN, and then they'll have to VPN and access those resources. Nightmare for end users. And from an IT perspective, you'll have to set up DMZs or reverse proxies, and I've heard that's a nightmare. I've not done the setup, but like everyone I talk to, they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. So it's bad for both IT and end users. Now, what Azure AD offers is we have a feature called App Proxy, which offers remote access as a service. So now your remote workers can access your on-premises resources without having to VPN, just on the go. And I'll show you how. So within Woodgrove, we are using SharePoint on-premises for a variety of reasons. And we have remote workers who want to access their documents even when they are on the go. They don't want a VPN. They don't want to restrict themselves to the corporate network. So what Woodgrove has done is they are using AppProxy to publish SharePoint on-premises to cloud. So now as an end user, I've signed in as an end user, and this is the Azure AD end user experience if you haven't seen. And here I see the list of apps that are available to me. Now here I see SharePoint on-premises, and this is the app that Woodgrove has published using AppProxy. I can simply click on it, and I get single sign-on, no sign-in prompts, and hopefully once that loads, I have access to all my corporate documents without having to go through additional hassle. Awesome. So I have access to my on-premises SharePoint documents from the cloud. So just pause for a minute again. What we did so far was you started with an HR app, you got the user on-prem, you got the user in Azure AD, the user has access to Office 365, the user has access to SaaS applications like Salesforce, and the user also has access to on-prem applications like SharePoint on-premises. So now the user has access to all kinds of applications. Think from the IT perspective. Now you have a single control plane that you call the identity control plane for both cloud and on-premises. You no longer have to manage policies in two places. You no longer have to monitor the reports in two places. You just have a single place of management that is Azure AD. All right.
Nitika, that's great. Now, just a couple points. One is, she showed the provisioning. I oftentimes think when I'm talking to customers that deprovisioning is the most important thing. The worry is when someone leaves the company, hey, let's get them out of this, right? And that's like, so if we call this the deprovisioning service, I think that would be great, but it doesn't gotta have the marketing zing, if you will, right? One important thing is as you look at this, we really want to ensure that you are able to cover the whole world of applications, right, including SaaS apps and O365 and the on-prem apps itself. And there's a number of them that we just support out of the box with Application Proxy. But what you find is that there's been a history of so many different authentication types on-prem that we actually reached out to a close partner to Microsoft Ping Identity, and they've made available a special relationship with us that enables Ping access to work seamlessly with the app proxy capability at Azure AD. What you get there is the breadth of applications, right? So it's really enables you to ensure that you can basically move to a model where it's all about giving your users access to applications, not to the network. And this is an important step that I want to mention. It's early days for this, but the traditional model for access to an application is to give users access to a network. And there's VPNs and all kind of controls around that. And through access to the network, they gain access to the app, right? The problem is they also gain access to your network, right? So as you move towards this model, and we have some customers like retail and others who are already there, which they're having a number of their users only in Azure AD, their retail floor workers, and then accessing just applications. So the limit of their risk is application risk, not network risk. So just something to think about. And the other piece is all the conditional access controls, all the risk-based security that we offer, you get that built in for these access points and don't require separate investment here. So let's actually move to the second step after you've automated the processes and people have the productive apps that they need. How do you kind of push out the capability so that end users and IT can be productive without having to come back to a central source, right? And Vetco is a good example. Vetco is a small, savvy IT shop. They're working with a very small staff, right? They have a lot of turnover in their organization, right? And they want to make sure that it's super simple for them to get the passwords changed and reset without taking help desk calls and that kind of thing. So let's take a look at with Nitika what that might look like.
Awesome. So going back to the characters I introduced earlier, so we had Chris, who's an information worker at Woodgrove. So Chris just got back from vacation. It's Monday morning. He's not happy, but he's getting back to work somehow. So he goes, tries to sign in to his corporate email, he enters his password. But damn, it's been a while. I don't remember my password anymore. So Chris is stuck here, but luckily, good news for him is that Woodgrove IT is using self-service password reset feature of Azure AD. So end users can recover their own account on their own without having to call help desk. So Chris can now easily go ahead and click on this forgot your password link. So here I do want to call out that traditionally, if you didn't have self-service password reset, Chris would have to call help desk, answer a bunch of questions, spend minutes on help desk call, and then help desk would give Chris the temporary password via phone or via email. None of them are either secure ways, nor is it productive for Chris and the help desk. So either way, that solution is not great, and we have something better to offer you guys. So here I have two options to choose from. I forgot my password, or I know my password, but I still can't sign in. So the first one is simple. That's what Chris has to go with because he actually forgot his password. The second one is interesting. We just added it based on customer feedback. So we have heard from you guys that your end users get locked out of the account because some app in the background is calling and trying to sign in on the user's behalf, leading to user getting locked out and they having to call help desk, spending minutes and minutes trying to recover the account back. Not productive for anyone. So we have added this feature where end users can self-recover the account from such a situation. So go ahead and check it out after the session. In this case, I'm going to go ahead with I forgot my password. Woodgrove IT allows a bunch of methods to their users. So I could say, I want to go use my email address to recover my account, or I could choose to get a text message or a call on my mobile phone. Lastly, there might be floor workers who have no phone access. So for them, we have some security questions that you can set up and use for recovering your account. In this case, I'm going to go ahead with text. This is a very important step. Might feel like, why am I entering my phone number? But if you didn't have this, people could actually abuse the service and generate text message and phone calls to your account. So this is super important. So here I get the verification code on my nice Microsoft PAN. I don't have to pull out my phone. Awesome. I can now enter my new password here.
So one thing to note here is that you see that this IT department has set up a number of methods of verification. We found that it's better to be more open and have more methods to have a greater success in terms of the user being in a position to be able to verify and authenticate. When you lock it down to just one method, then you're depending on the user having everything in the right place to be able to take advantage of that. So try to be more open in that particular case.
For sure. Giving end users more options is better to cover all your different demographics. All right, so something wrong went here. So I entered a new password, but it complained saying, hey, we have seen this password too many times before. Can you choose something harder? So Azure AD and Microsoft knows what are the common passwords. So we have a dynamic list of common passwords, and we ban those for you. We know those passwords, and so do the bad guys. And we want to make sure none of you guys are using those common passwords that people can brute force or easily guess. So this time, I'm going to try a stronger password. Let's see if that works. Awesome, it worked. And thanks, Azure AD, for saving me from setting a very common and easy password. Cool.
So go ahead.
The next slide.
So let's talk a minute about this, because there's a couple key things to track here. One is the way this is set up is basically when you do your Azure AD Connect, that connection to the cloud, you basically select for doing password write-back. That takes advantage of an agent on-prem that talks directly in real time under encrypted channels to AD itself, right? So when Nitika is entering the the password, it's complying with two things. First off, it's picking up whether it's a one of the dynamically banned passwords, right, that she talked about. And also it checks to see if it's conforming to the policies that you have in place today within your AD, right? So it really conforms to the AD rules that you set up. And once again, a good example of us trying to make it super simple for you to onboard this without making a lot of changes to your current system. The second piece on the security side is, you know, everything is under HTTPS. It is all encrypted within that, you know, a channel with a tenant-specific encryption key. It's integrated for anti-hammering, throttling, message expiry, right? And real-time notifications are sent to both the end users and the admins. What we found is that this set of things enables your security team to get comfortable with this change, right? So thank you very much.
Awesome. Chris just got back, and his directs are waiting on him to approve the expense reports. So he's getting bugged, and Chris goes to the access panel, which is the Azure AD end user experience, and looks for the expense app. So here I am in the experience. I'm looking for the expense app. I do not see it. What do I do? So I will try to add an app. And here, under suggested apps, I get this recommendation, hey, you should add expenses as the app. I'll go ahead and do that. Cool. It looks like this app requires approval. So it has sent an email to the approvers of the app. So I happen to be an approver as well. So Nitika, who's the IT pro, is the approver for this app. So here in my inbox, I see that I get an email saying someone has requested access to expenses. And here I can see the requester's name. I can act on this request right from the email. So I can just click on this. Takes me to the place where I can approve this request. Just select this. Approve. Yes. Awesome. So. And if you go back, you should see that expenses is added here. The key thing to note here is that IT was nowhere involved in the picture. The app request, as well as app approval, was delegated to the end user and the business group. So this not just helps the end user be more productive by having to just quickly request access without getting in touch with IT, but it also helps you guys, that is the IT. Because now you can reduce cost on having to manage access for the applications. So it provides better experience for end users, as well as for IT, where they can reduce their costs. So something for you guys to go set up for sure.
Yeah, so we just looked at that self-service application access, and One of the reasons I, you know, there's not much more to say because she did just a wonderful presentation of how simple this is. But I wanted to have this in the deck so when you go, later and download the deck to use it at your office, you'll have a good example to work from. The one thing I want to make sure that you know is that all the experiences, even though we're showing them on the PC, right, are available across both the PCs, mobile devices like iOS and Android, iPad, and others, right? We really want to make sure that experience of whether it's requesting application access, whether it's resetting your password, you know, managing your accounts, all those things is happening in the environment that your end users are used to. And one of the key points about this, you'll see here, there's a picture here with a O365 example. This is a good example of really reducing the end user concern about trying to go off and do identity type things, right? So right within O365, right within your email, you click the application window up in the upper left corner, and you see the whole world of those applications, whether it's Salesforce, your on-prem apps, and others, right? So you really, right within your work, the end user's work, you're able to gain access to this world of applications. It's a unique and valuable way, and some of our customers are using this to make sure that they can be like super productive because the users are never trying to think like, okay, where do I go to go do this? It's all within that Office 365 experience. Now, one of the important things, that I'd like to note here. We showed some demonstrations around basically empowering your businesses and empowering your end users, right? Just as important as empowering your IT group. There's a large number of administration roles within Azure Active Directory, right? And all of these roles can be organized in such a way that you can give the right controls to the right people in your organization, including, say, you want the Exchange administrator, the SharePoint administrator, those types of things. Every one of these roles can be controlled with just-in-time access and multi-factor auth, right? So within that situation, I'll put a note at the end of our talk here about where you can learn more about this. But managing a scale is multiple different factors. One, it's the automation, right? It's empowering the end user, and it's empowering IT itself. So spend some time in that learning phase, understanding these roles, setting your policies, setting just-in-time, and taking advantage of this to get the kind of very secure, distributed controls that you need. And in the end, any big scale organization, even small organization, it really is about what you can see. How can you verify? How do you know what's going on? Right? That's really where visibility comes in. Like, and what's really cool now is that with the cloud, in some ways, you have more visibility than you ever had before. So let's take a look at some of those pieces as well.
So how comfortable do you guys feel about monitoring your hybrid identity infrastructure? Do you guys think you're doing a great job? Looks like no one does. Oh, there's one person there. Anyway, for everyone else except you, we have an awesome feature in Azure AD. So the third step, as Keith mentioned, is about visibility. So making sure you're monitoring, making sure you have reporting for business needs, for security needs, or operational needs. So Azure AD has a feature called Azure AD Connect Health, which monitors and provides you insights on your hybrid identity infrastructure. So it monitors your Active Directory Federation servers, it monitors your web app proxy servers, it monitors Azure AD Connect, which is sync, and then it also monitors your domain controllers. And it not just monitors those servers, but every time it detects an issue, it sends you an email, so you know that you have something to go look at right immediately. So how many of you are able to answer questions like, who's logging into the servers? What is the load on the servers? Do you need to scale out? Are your domain controllers replicating? Or what is the sync latency within your environment? How many of you can answer those questions? How much time does it take to answer those questions? Probably minutes, having to search through the logs, write custom scripts. But what Azure AD Connect Health provides you is all that data in a single glance. So here I am within the Azure AD Connect Health interface. I have ADFS here, I have Azure AD Connect here, I have domain services here. I have a very healthy environment, so not much to worry about. As you can see, everything looks healthy. But I do have a sync error here. So what's happening here is that the sync agent, the health agent is collecting the data about the sync errors, categorizing them by the error type, and providing you in a way that is easy to consume. So here, by glancing at the sync error, I can say that I have zero duplicate attribute issues. I have zero data mismatch issues. But I do have a data validation failure to worry about. Let me go look at it. All right, so I know this is with the user Mark Delia. And I can further investigate and root cause the issue. I have all the relevant information I need right here within this experience in a way that I can easily parse. Once I can root cause this, I can go ahead and fix it. We have related documentation in place on how you can go address those issues. So it really simplifies the monitoring and reporting experience for your hybrid identity infrastructure. Signing up for this is really simple. Just go to the Azure portal, add Azure AD Connect Health from the marketplace. I'm really surprised that not a lot of customers are using this feature, even though this seems like a must-have for most of you guys who are in a hybrid environment.
So one of the interesting things about this is that what's been happening is our customers are moving to the cloud, right? It seems like, oh, I'm moving to the cloud, I've got concerns, how's that gonna work for me? But what happens is you get a little distance, and you can use that distance to look back at your organization and look at how your Federation server is working. You can look back and see how your Active Directory domain services is working, right? And it just gives you a tremendous amount of information that was really hard to gain in the past. And this is just the type of thing you'll see it in the identity protection sections and others, the kind of value that you gain from getting the perspective that moving to the cloud gives you. So a critical piece, right? We believe if you're being able to have a very healthy environment, but know the visibility in terms of what's going on and be able to take easy action. Within Azure itself, right, we have a very comprehensive audit and reporting functionality built in, right? And so, you know, one of the key things, like say if you're doing forensics or investigations, you can just really drill in who did what device, what browser, all these different pieces really can help you be effective. But just as important, we found, is the business side, right? The activity reports. What apps are being used? How often are they being used? Who's using them? You know, it's this kind of, are my password reset registrations up? Am I doing the right thing from getting multi-factor set across my whole organization? Like just business questions that you can answer now in ways that were quite difficult in the past. And then security reporting, right? We have basically those billions of authentications that we talked about flow down to enable us to help you identify potential risk and take mitigation and automated remediation through identity protection. So it's pretty cool stuff. But you know what's interesting is that this is good, but our customers need more. So why don't we see when we go from here to the next step after that.
Awesome. So Keith talked about the rich set of reports that Azure AD has to offer. And when it comes to cloud, you have more data than you can actually look at. So that's all goodness. And you can access all those reports through the Azure AD management experience that I just walked you guys through. But we know from customers that that's not where they want to see the data. And we want to push data where our customers are. So if you are a heavy Power BI user, we want you to be able to view that data in Power BI. So here, as an example, I have a Power BI dashboard with all the sign-in data going in there. So here I can see the sign-in trend over the last 30 days. I can see where the sign-ins are coming from, a nice map view, so I exactly know most of my users are sitting in North America, some of them in Europe, not many in South America. And not just that, I can actually ask questions to Power BI. So they have this amazing natural language search feature, so I can ask Power BI about app trends. So show me what's going on with my apps. All right, human error. So here I can see my top 5 apps and the sign-ins coming from those apps in a nice timeline view. I can also ask questions like, I'm investigating Nitika Gupta's account. Can you show me all the sign-ins for Nitika Gupta? So just entering a name, I see all the sign-ins for Nitika Gupta. So here we have a rich experience where you can actually visualize the data in the way you want. You can ask questions to Power BI. Not just that, we have this requirement where customers tell us, I want to share this report with my team, or I want to share this report with my management and show value in Azure AD. You can actually do it from right here. So you can just click on share. You can either send an email to these recipients or just share the link for this dashboard. Very simple. So what we're trying to do here is we, as Azure AD, want to provide you a rich set of reports. And we have married that with the awesome visualization capabilities that Power BI has to offer, so you can make the best out of both these features and use it for your organizational needs. Our customers have greater needs than that. Power BI is not sufficient. We know that for every customer, there is 2.3 SIEM systems in the organization. Crazy stats. We don't want to add to it. So we want to push the data to the SIEM system of your choice. So here I have a demo environment with Splunk set up. I have a dashboard which shows me security data coming from Azure AD Identity Protection. So So Azure AD Identity Protection is a feature of Azure AD, which provides you world-class machine learning, detecting users at risk, risky sign-ins, and others. If you want to learn more about this feature, I'm going to be talking about it tomorrow at 2:15 in this room. So come for that session. So going back to Splunk and the dashboard that we have in front of us, I can see that there is a leak credential within my organization. So what is leak credential? Did you hear about the Yahoo breach last week? Like 500 million username passwords are out there in the dark web. We get that feed of data. We get those username passwords. We match it against what's there in Azure Active Directory. If we see username passwords are matching, we flag it to you. You should go immediately reset password for those users, make sure no one gets into those accounts with those credentials. Go investigate. I can also see from this chart that there are risk events called anonymous IP risk event. So these are sign-ins coming from anonymous IP addresses, such as Tor. Based on research, we know 94% of the Tor traffic has malicious intent. Something for you guys to investigate and look into. If you want to learn more about it, come tomorrow in this room, 2:15. I can also see a map view which shows that risk events are typically coming from Europe area. Something fishy because all my users are sitting in North America. So just by looking at this, I can get a sense of what's going on within my organization with regard to security. I can further drill into the data. So this gives me the raw data so I can have the next level of details. And I can go ahead and fix the users as needed. So the thing to highlight here is we want to push the data to where you are. So if you are using Power BI, we'll push the data to Power BI. In very simple steps, we have a connector for Power BI that should come out soon. Few clicks, you're there. If you are using Splunk or any other SIEM system like ArcSight, QRadar, we can push the data there. So you don't have to go to 5 different consoles to see what's going on within your organization.
Thank you, Nitika. I always get excited about that because they're so colorful and they have so much good information built in there. Hey, so as Nitika was saying, it's really important, and what we found that when you're managing a scale, you've been doing scale for years, right? So let's make sure we're not adding more cost to your work life, but you can sync it in with the tools that you're already using as well, right? So that's an important strategy here, which is try not to, you know, kind of broaden your scope while you're working in such a lean operations model. So we have talked today about managing a scale and the parts of automation, empowering your users and IT, and then gaining visibility associated with that. You know, the thing that I found is that if you can identify a couple small key things to get started with, you can get the engine running, right? And so we have the concept of quick wins, right? You can literally go in and set up a dynamic group in a few minutes, right? Then you can use that dynamic group to turn on self-service for a scoped group within your organization, that scope dynamic group, right? You can turn on multi-factor auth. You can add that to protect your admin access, again in 5 minutes. And come to Nitika's talk tomorrow,
yes,
and look on how easy it will be to onboard to identity protection and start looking at the logins and the risky sign-ins that are going on. I highly recommend this, right? It's really important to be able to just start showing the value to your organization. And then in addition to that, we've tried to make it easy for you, right? We've said like, hey, this is what customers have done that have been successful on the journey. We've created a playbook, and that playbook is built from the conversations that we've had. So if you look at, when you go and look at the playbook, it'll be called the AAD POC playbook, or proof of concept. Think of this as POC, pilot, initial production. You know, it's really meant to get you started. And includes things like task lists and those kind of things that you can easily use to accelerate and make, you know, a progress. What we've found is that if you can make those steps through the maturity, you know, model, you can start to show real value to your organization in terms of increased security, increased automation, and increased productivity within your organization. So this is a great thing, and please take a look at that. 33,000 customers are on the journey with us, and we really are very happy about the feedback that we have received from them and helping us in the engineering team identify, prioritize, and take action based on direct customer feedback. So it's a pretty exciting time. It's the most fun I've had in my career in terms of being so close with what customers need and ability to solve problems directly for them. It is a wonderful time. There's more to do here, right? There's just a ton of information that you can share. The one I would really call your attention to is the bottom one. Review design considerations for your hybrid Azure AD. This one is a document built once again with our customers about the things they did. And you'll find the non-technical things like, hey, if you're choosing a URL, talk to your marketing team. We've had situations where people have gone all the way through, chose the URL, the marketing team put a kibosh on it, and they had to recycle. It tells all about getting your security team involved. So that's a cool one. And then plus things like the Gartner positioning us as a leader is always a wonderful validation of the amount of work we've done working with you folks. On Wednesday at 9, the top underlined one is with the you are here, right? So that's where you are now. On Thursday at 2:15, that is Nitika's next session. The whole line of these are the ones that will give you the full story of what we've been talking about today. And contact us. You know, we really do want to hear from you, right? So as you begin to take advantage of the playbooks, do those 5-minute things, like just email us or follow us on Twitter or LinkedIn. We literally are in the business of listening because it super helps us make sure we're doing the right thing as we are executing on our services. So thank you.
Perfect.
I actually want to say a special thank you to Nitika doing all great, you know, demonstrations here of all the cool things.
Well.
So
luckily.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Nitika.
Awesome.
You know, as you leave here, please make sure you're checking in on the IT resources that Microsoft is making available. Our goal is to make you be super successful. So I'm trying to give you the materials that you need to do that. And evaluate the session, please, so we can learn more and get better each time we try. We'll be here for a while, so if you want to come up and ask questions, super happy to do so. Thank you very much.